You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Come on. Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Alexei Ivanov. Alexei, are you ready to do this?
I am ready. I'm all in. How are you doing? All right.
I am doing great. Let's go. Alexei is the co-founder and chief operating officer of Sports Icon. They're a leading Web3 fan athlete interaction platform. They're working to connect fans with their favorite sporting heroes meaningfully through NFTs and building a marketplace and doing all kinds of really cool and exciting things in the world of NFTs. Alexei, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work and why you do what you do.
Wow, those are some huge questions just to kick off there.
Let's go.
Some big ones straight off. I'm Alexei. Pleased to meet you. And a little bit about myself, really. I've been working professionally in sports for about 12 years before founding Sports Icon, which was founded in 2020. I am a FIFA accredited FIFA match agent and have previously set up a different company. And what that means really is that I have a license from FIFA, which is very hard to acquire and jump through many hoops to get. To work with federations, football federations, soccer, and other soccer clubs as well, all around the world from every different continent. So I've spent the past 12 years doing that, working on projects with football teams in Africa, in Asia, over in the Americas, in Europe. So that's given me, I followed my love, really. I have a background in computer science and neuroscience, but I love sports, and that's how I've ended up working in sport, that kind of follow your dream, follow your passions. That was really the preeminent passion, really, was sport. And what I saw firsthand over that 10, 12 years was really the impact sports has all around the world on all different populations, on a, you know, different number of scales with different size communities. And that impact is you know, a large impact within all those communities. So so that's kind of a bit of a brief synopsis into my background. And Sports Icon was founded really with that thesis in mind of connecting fans and super fans with their sports heroes or their favorite sports clubs and trying to bring everyone closer and closer together, really, and giving access that wasn't really available before to everyone around the world. So we have sportsicon.com is the top company. We've had a really successful PFP project, which launched back in August last year, and that's the Sports Icon Lion Club. And that, again, is really kind of bringing together this global sports community to interact firsthand with stars like Ronaldinho and Floyd Mayweather. And the list goes on, really, in terms of the utility that we've offered, as well as in real life experiences at places like Madison Square Gardens, and all this stuff is available to our community. And then around the same point, probably a bit earlier last year, actually, we also decided to invest fairly significantly in the metaverse space. And if I'm going on too much, feel free to jump in at any point and say,
"You're good.
Hey, take a breath, man. And I've got more questions to ask you." So we were super keen, super interested in the metaverse space and extrapolating those communities from Web 2, you know, into Web 3, you know, as per our kind of NFT platform and our PFP project. And we did a lot of research, we did a lot of thinking, and we were thinking about do we buy some land in Decentraland or Sandbox or something like that. But ultimately, we decided that the best route to take would be to create our own metaverse. And that was based on feedback from our community and from brands and IP that we talked to and that I'm connected to. I think what Sandbox and Decentraland have done is absolutely incredible. They're absolutely amazing platforms. But I think we want to take it in a slightly different direction.
Exciting. That was one of the questions I had for you is this world is just, it's opening up, it's expanding. Yeah. How do you choose what to devote your resources to and what to not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that is a good question. And it's always, especially when you are one of the developers that we work with, he likes to say, oh, you know, we're not working on the cutting edge of technology. We're ahead of that. We're working on the bleeding edge. We're working on the bleeding edge is his kind of favorite phrase. There's always a lot of decisions to be made. And some transitions to make here and there, but without a shadow of a doubt.
So you make the decision, we're going to make our own thing. And so I'm curious to know if that's just a project that will last forever or if there's actually an endpoint to it. And then what in your mind's eye or what would my experience to be will be when I enter into your metaverse?
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. I think the question, first of all, will there be an endpoint to it or will it last forever? That's an easy one. It's going to last forever. That's the theory behind it. So what do you get? What is the experience? So I think I can probably start off by saying, well, what is the experience now? And then what is actually the macro view? What's the big picture? What are we working towards here? So one of the things we wanted to do was when people buy land in metaverse spaces, they generally get an NFT with a coordinate on, and you know, here's your plot of land, and there you go, done. And that's the end. Go and build something if you want, or just that's it, you're done. So what we actually wanted to do was to be able to offer our users and our community something that is out of the box, that works already. So when people buy a plot of land in our metaverse, what you get is something which we have termed a fan cave. It's this high fidelity environment. And I guess one of the things I could have mentioned earlier was that the team that we've assembled to build this metaverse space, we believe is truly world-class. And that encompasses people that have spent 15 years as vice president of research and development at NVIDIA. And then the people below that really are game developers from Epic Games, from EA Sports, from Sony. So, you know, we want to bring that kind of feel to what we're creating here. So out of the box, you get this fan cave. What can you do with this fan cave? You can bring other friends into the fan cave. You can interact with people that you would normally interact with on Discord, for example. This can now happen in the sports metaverse fan cave. And then there's also going to be, you know, mini games in there. You'll be able to interact with your friends in there. You'll also be able to stream live sports in the metaverse, which is pretty cool, I think. And so do the community. I mean, we've got, let's say, for example, we've got community members. Some of them are based in Jakarta and certainly quite friendly with the guys that are based in New York. And for those to be able to log on to this online space together and interact together and watch sports together in that same environment is just, it's so exciting for us. It looks, I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures or the videos for it, but we are very, very excited by what we've created. And then over and above that kind of fan cave that you get, we've got athletes in there. We've got people that are, we've got IP rights holders in there. Coming back to the athletes, we volumetrically captured Amanda Nunes, the UFC best women, pound for pound women's fighter of all time, the UFC. So Amanda she's obviously going through training at the moment for her fight on, I'm just checking the date, in 31 days against Pena. So she has been we've been recreating her gym for her in the space. So people will be able to teleport from the fan cave into this Amanda Nunes experience and really interact with her on quite a deep level. She'll take you on a tour, hints and tips from her. There's mini games in there as well. And again, it's in this high fidelity environment. And people will have access to, you know, there's only one Amanda Nunes, but in the metaverse, you can have thousands and thousands of people interacting with that iteration of Amanda Nunes at the same time. So that's what's really exciting for us.
What a really cool thing that is, to be able to recreate her training space and to have an interaction that, I mean, that's right there. I was expecting to hear things that I'd never thought of before, and that's certainly one of them. So what a unique experience to be able to check out how your favorite athlete really trains and what a day-to-day kind of what that routine looks like. Cause I know that we all think that it's incredible, but to actually see it, what a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. So that's a pretty neat thing. What are some of the other things that you see either you're developing or you say, you know what, I think this is going to be really cool that people really are going to enjoy?
Yeah, I think zooming out a little bit, we are in advanced conversations with IP rights holders, a few of which include some of the biggest soccer clubs in the world. And this is not only specific for soccer clubs, we are having similar conversations across the pond on your side. So just to kind of circle back to a conversation I had recently with definitely one of the top 10 biggest clubs over here in Europe. And they were saying, well, you know, we're building our new stadium because we want our fan base to be able to come and spend time around the stadium, even when it's not a game day. If there's shopping malls in there, there are, coffee shops, whatever they might be, which for a European model, to be honest, is a lot newer than the US models. Generally, the stadiums over here are all loads, loads older. So they've never really built with that in mind specifically. So, they want to give their fans this experience. And I think, our conversation was, okay, well, how many fans can you bring to the stadium on a game day or just throughout a week? Because you've told us that you have 400 million fans worldwide. So what if all of those fans, in theory, blue sky thinking, can actually come and explore and interact with and enjoy that space? That's a much, much, much bigger audience. It's all about helping the brands connect with their, maybe not even the global audience, but yes, absolutely the global audience, but as well the locale, the population that can't make it in all the time to the stadium. It's that point of connectivity online in the metaverse. There will be fan zones, activations by the IP rights holders in these spaces, stores around the side of the stadium where you can buy things that appear as NFTs that you can put on your avatar, but also that turn up the next day and land on your doorstep, the physical version also. And I think big picture, maybe going 18 months down the line, perhaps, is being able to finally walk into the stadium, sit down in a seat or in a VIP box and watch a live game in 3D in the metaverse. And I think that's the end goal.
Amazing. So you can correct me, kind of tell me where I'm going wrong, but I can enter the metaverse and literally inside of the metaverse, walk up to the stadium, go through security, for lack of a better term, walk through the concourse and buy a jersey in the metaverse, which will tomorrow show up at my door physically, and then find my seat and actually watch the game with theoretically, 100,000 other people.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Theoretically, maybe if your global audience is 400 million people.
So, what a cool thing.
Yeah.
How long, you mentioned 18 months, and we're certainly not going to hold you to a date, or how long does it take to actually build that out?
Well, I think it's, at the moment, it's a matter of the hardware technology. I think for that to be built out, it's more it's not an insignificant amount of time, but it could be 6 to 8 months build time. But actually, I think really it's more the hardware at the moment, the hardware technology, which is, we've had a few conversations recently with people that are pushing the boundaries in these kind of, I mean, what I mentioned earlier regarding volumetric capture, you are essentially in a green screen, but like in a tube green screen, you have about 100 cameras pointed at you, each camera capturing 1 gigabyte of data every single second. That's a huge lift. So that's how we volcap and recreate things in the metaverse. Now, there are people that are pushing the boundaries now with this technology, which use GoPros, which are much more mobile. And they can, at the present, probably recreate a football game or a basketball game on a kind of half-court level. So that technology is evolving, and it will be that technology which ends up in stadiums. So I think we just need to kind of support these hardware developers as much as we can as well. That's really important.
And what will I need at home in order to really enjoy the experience?
So, most people will access this space on a desktop or a laptop computer. I think it's roughly 80, 85% of people that do enter these spaces do use a desktop or a laptop. However, it will be possible to use something like an Oculus 2 from Meta. That would obviously provide a much richer immersive environment than a desktop. So both will be options.
Are we going to see big advances in this hardware technology as consumers as well, do you think, or is that?
Yeah, I think there are definitely things around the corner without a doubt there. I think the Oculus at the moment could do with being a bit lighter. I think as is the trend with a lot of things, they try to make them. They start off big and then people shrink them as time passes.
So, yeah. Oh, for sure.
I think they'll get sleeper, they'll get more streamlined for sure.
Yeah, super exciting. So how do you break up your day? You're obviously spreading the word about it, having conversations like this, and then you are making brand deals, but how does your time get spent usually?
How does my time get spent usually? That's a great question. So it normally if I'm looking ahead to the next week, it doesn't look too bad, but when I log on a Monday morning, it's rammed. It's completely packed out. So it's a mixture of, we're a startup. We're not a huge Goliath of a company. So as a founder or co-founder, we have to kind of do a little bit of everything. Dip into the Discords and the marketing and stuff like that, but also, the legal bits that we need to deal with, the accounting, the fiat accounting, the crypto accounting, all that side of things, as well as fitting in all these other meetings and around the IP, around kind of the PFP project and the development of the site, the website, sportsicon.com. Is a Flow-based site. So it is based on Flow. We are actually backed by Dapper Labs and Roham as well, separately, as well as kind of a myriad of other kind of really cool investors, such as Jeffrey Katzenberg and Chad Hurley of YouTube, et cetera. Naz, the rapper, I was very excited about Naz, to be honest. So it really is kind of a mixed bag of everything, trying to keep track of on top of everything pointing in the right direction, but still finding the time to connect with these rights holders and keep the conversations going, really. We've recently been over at NFT NYC, so we had some kind of great meetings around the event there, with investors and people that have already invested, and kind of potential future collaborators and Chris, the co-founder, was also on stage on one of the panels. So that's great to kind of get our brand out there a bit more as well.
Yeah. Keeping all the plates spinning.
Does any of that make any sense, George?
Some of it did.
Okay.
You know, I think that a lot of folks who listen to the show are entrepreneurial minded, and so they totally get it. You've got to keep everything.
To be honest, the day always starts with a dog walk, and it always ends with a dog walk. So you know, you've got to get that fresh air as well.
There you go. I love it. Well, Lexi, the people are ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for them?
The difference making tip that I have is, it's actually kind of, I think it's definitely not actually crypto related, but it is kind of community and people related, and it's be multilingual, because you'll be able to go and experience so much more of the world and interact with so many more people if you can speak more than one language.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets it. Come on. Lexi, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with Sports Icon and the new metaverse?
Yep. SportsIcon.com is the platform. The metaverse is at sportsmetaverse.co. We are at Sports Icon on Twitter. And the land sale is going to be on the 14th of July. So just around the corner. We have we've got a heavily oversubscribed whitelist. It's up to about 15,000 people at the moment. So we are all very excited, working very, very hard towards that finish. It's not even the finish line, but the halfway line, I suppose, of the land sale on the 14th of July.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Lexi your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to sportsicon.com, sportsicon.com. Then go to sportsmetaverse.co and check out all the details of what they've got going on, and see if you can get on that list and take advantage of this super cool and exciting new offering and brave new world. Thanks again, Alexi.
Thank you, George. Take care.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.